This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Many cable companies, including Time Warner, are dropping their analog service for older televisions and going exclusively to digital delivery service. So what's behind the changeover and how will cable subscribers adapt to it? Is this a good time to cut the cord? And here to tell us about this and other consumer technology issues, Executive Director of the National Voice of America Museum of Broadcasting, Jack Dominick. He writes the weekly blog, Jack's Notes and Bits, which he describes as a technology blog site for the non-techie. Right, Jack?
Well, it better be, since it's being written by a non-techie.
You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Hey, Jack, what's going on? Why are the cable companies dumping their analog delivery service?
Well, part of it is economics. When the cable companies switched over to digital several years ago, I mean, it's the last century, which seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? They maintain both a digital and an analog service on the same cable, so to speak. And that was, of course, back then, if you remember, a lot of people still had the big old CRT, big tube televisions, and they were analog, and they were, you know, 4x3 aspect, all that stuff. And some people remember those TVs.
You bring back something to mind. My father-in-law had a 32-inch, which we thought was huge at the time.
Yeah.
It must have weighed about 200 pounds or so.
Huge thing. 200 pounds is probably a minimum. Those tubes were so heavy and dangerous if they ever fell on you. But anyway, the cable companies, in order needed to continue to keep that running, or they would lose people. People were not going to just run out and buy digital sets, et cetera. Well, times have changed. And by the way, to do that, just think about that. Instead of running one system, they were running two systems, or they are running two systems. Now, most people don't need it. The television sets have gone away. They can open up so much more bandwidth. So they are switching totally to the digital. And in order to accommodate some people still have television sets that have what they call the QAM tuner. I won't bore you with what that was, but that was a digital tuner that could pick up cable channels. That no longer will be the case. So therefore, you need this digital adapter that they're giving away for 1 year free to all the television sets in your home that don't already have the set-top box. So you can't confuse the set-top box. That's the big one that gets all the crazy stuff with the digital adapter. So that's why they're doing it.
They're giving it away for free for about a year.
About a year. And then there will be a monthly charge for it the same way there is for the box, which is interesting because the FCC just recently passed or promulgated a rule that now allows you to, or soon, to buy your set-top box instead of renting it for $10 a month. Or $5 a month in some cases. So you'll be able to buy it. Now, most likely, you'll also be able to buy these digital adapters as well, but I don't know if you will. The cable companies aren't eager to get you to buy things when you can, you know, spend $60 a year or $120 a year just a rental of the boxes. So we'll see.
So what's the alternative if you just don't want to go along, if you want to be a rebel and
cut the cord?
Cut the cord.
Well, you know, a lot of people are doing it. And what I would suggest before you even discuss it discuss it in your home, take literally a piece of paper and write down what you watch for a week.
That makes
sense. Or 2 weeks. And then do a little research. Could I have watched this somewhere else? Now, somewhere else would be a combination of over-the-air, the antenna, and streaming, Hulu, Netflix, CBS and ABC, NBC. They all have their own services, as you know. Now, you have to add up the cost because, for instance, if you can get some things off of ABC, some things off of CBS, but then if you want real time or not have to wait a week, then you pay so much. So you have to do your math. How much does it cost for your Netflix? How much does it cost for your Hulu? And then weigh that against how much it would cost to continue your cable service, remembering that you still have to have a pretty robust internet connection. But off the air, you know, a lot of people their eyes glaze over when, and they can't believe this. And I tell them, you bought this beautiful brand new HD set, you know, 60 inch, 80 inch. If you really want to see what HD looks like, disconnect it from the cable and connect it to an antenna, and you'll be amazed at the quality. And it's not surprising, because think about it. Through that little cable, how many HD signals is Time Warner sending into your house?
Well, not only that, how many layers does that go through before it reaches you?
Well, it's called compression, and it just – now when you're getting it off the air directly to CET or KRC, et cetera, you're getting the entire bit stream, and it really looks amazing off the air. So you go out to Radio Shack and buy an antenna.
Yeah, speaking of those antennas, I've tried them, and the set-top versions that just sit on top. I've never had much luck with them.
Depends where you live. That's one of the problems with digital transmission over the air. There are some many technical issues with it, and depending what – some people – they get beautiful reception with just a $9, $10 Radio Shack antenna. Others need a more expensive outdoor antenna. Interestingly enough, I used to take so many calls about antennas, and people would call me and they said, I live in Hyde Park and I can't get anything. And I've got this beautiful antenna that I got, and I've got this amplifier on the antenna. And I said, oh, amplifier, unplug it. And they unplug it, and bing, everything comes in. You can overdrive your television set with a signal, and the result is nothing. So bigger is – or more is not better.
More is not –
So I always
less
say –
less is more, and more is less.
Correct. So I always say, start off, go to Radio Shack, spend $10 on this antenna. You know, if it doesn't work – you're at $10, but don't immediately go to this, you know, golden plated HD antenna, which doesn't exist, by the way. There's no such thing as an HD antenna.
Well, I was going to ask you that. I mean,
it's a marketing.
You have to be careful about what you buy. I mean, there are ads out there for things that just are too good to be true, aren't there?
Well, the funny one was that it runs in the local papers. Often, I haven't seen it in a couple months, and it talks about this NASA to get free channels, and it's hundreds of channels, free channels, and developed by a NASA scientist. Now, it's a whole page ad. The thing costs like $65, and when you finally read through all of the verbiage, and it's, you know, it just goes on and on and on, it's an antenna that you could buy at Radio Shack for $10. Don't need to be designed by a NASA astronaut.
Or, don't need to be a
national scientist.
A rocket scientist doesn't
have
to make it. And you don't have to pay $65 for it. About how many channels are available over the air to someone who lives in the Cincinnati area?
Give you an example. I have a small digital tuner on my computer at work. Now, granted, this is in on the top of a hill in Westchester. I have an antenna that is no larger than your thumb. Okay? I get all of the stations in Cincinnati, all of the stations in Dayton, and of course they all have multicast stations. So CET, for instance, has 3. Channel 14 has 5. WLWT has 3. So you add those all up, and you're talking – that's where you get, you know, where the advertisements say, well, you get 60 channels. And many people can. There's a lot of – most of the channels have more than one programming stream.
So you're better off with a rooftop antenna for this, or will the indoor version work just as well?
It really depends. But one thing to keep in mind is the rabbit ears, you know, the two little wire things, they don't do anything. The only channel in digital being broadcast in VHF, remember the old channels 2 through 13, is channel 12. Everybody else –
very high frequency. Right.
Correct. Everybody else is in the UHF band. Now, you'll say, wait a minute, channel 9 isn't in the UHF band. Channel 9 is not broadcasting on channel 9. Your television tricks you into thinking it is. They're actually in the 20s in the UHF band. So the antenna that you want is the little circle, not the the rabbit ears.
Sounds like the cable TV industry is facing a lot of competition, and especially from things that are online and the availability of these channels over the air.
Absolutely.
How are they responding?
It's going to be interesting. I think the consumers in Cincinnati are going to have a great front row seat because, as you know, our telephone company provides what they call the Fioptic system, and they have a television system. And they've just recently announced, and you maybe have seen some of the commercials, the unbundling, which is a big.
A la carte's another term I've heard.
Exactly. And that is a big issue because most people don't realize it. Let's say you've never, ever watched a sporting event in your life, but you subscribe to a Time Warner cable that has ESPN on it. Mm-hmm. You're spending $5 a month for that.
And you don't use it.
And you don't use it. So the concept of unbundling is that I want ESPN, I want the Weather Channel, I want, and you put them together. Now, let's see how it works out. I haven't seen exactly what Cincinnati Bell is planning on doing, whether or not there'll be a basic service or, but the whole concept of a la carte will just change the economics of how they charge you. And it'll be interesting to see.
I wanted to shift gears because you wrote a blog that hit right where I love home lighting. You wrote about CFLs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm going with LEDs now. I've never been a big fan of the CFL lighting. So what's happening? Is the CFL falling by the wayside?
It probably will. GE just recently announced that they're out of the business, out of the CFL business. They're going totally LED. And a walk through Home Depot right now should demonstrate that to you. The cost of LED lamps, it used to be, you know, a 160-watt equivalent would cost you $30 or $40. Now you get a pack of four for $9. So the cost is coming down. And they're wonderful. They last forever. There are various color temperatures. So you want a warm one, you want a cold, you know, a light one, a blue one, et cetera. They are wonderful. They don't give off a lot of heat. So you save on air conditioning. And the best thing is that they don't use much power. I'll give you a great example. I have two 60-watt equivalent LEDs in my little pop-up tent camper. I connected it to a 12-volt battery just to see how long they would run on a 12-volt battery. And at the end of the week, I turned them off. So, and I still had about 50% of my battery left. So that's how efficient they are.
Any idea when we can run out of expect to run out of the traditional incandescent light bulbs?
I think there will still be around for a while because there are some applications that almost demand them, but they definitely are on the downswing. I think you'll see the fact. I think they will be around longer than the CFLs. CFLs are just we're kind of an interim.
I broke one time. That is a mess.
Oh, it is.
It's a huge mess. I thought I was going to have to call the EPA to have them come in and remediate my house.
Oh, the mercury. There's not much in them, but. We'll see, but LEDs they save a lot of money. I've almost got my entire house into LEDs
now. And I'm moving that way, Jack. I'm with you. We've got the legal battle going on between Apple and the federal government over unlocking the iPhone that was used by one of the terrorists in the San Bernardino attack. Mm-hmm. Regardless of whether you agree with Apple or the government, this raises an interesting question. About smartphones. How much is on a smartphone?
Well, I wrote an article just recently about that, and most people know what they put on it, you know, and realize that that's a lot of stuff. Their pictures and maybe their bank account information and perhaps their contacts. And that's – you know what you put on it. But a lot of people are very surprised of how much the phone retains. For instance, every picture that you take – is time-stamped and location-stamped using the GPS. Almost every keystroke you make in that telephone is saved. And now how long is it saved? It depends on how much memory you have in the phone. But a year is not out of the question. So when you punch in passwords, et cetera, and of course your email itself, your text messages, et cetera. So there's a lot of stuff in your phone. Now I live.
And these phones nowadays could run a space mission.
Well, there was that's true. the power of the phone, the computing power of the phone is exponentially. In fact, it's even more than exponentially, if that can be the case. I saw an article once that said that it could easily, your cell phone could easily control, you know, a million space flights and still while you're on the phone, you know.
So real quickly, what's the bottom line on smartphones?
I think you just have to be, remember what you've, that it has a lot of information. I live a very boring life, so if they get my phone, they're going to be very disappointed.
Just have to be cautious with
That's
it.
That's right. Be okay. Cautious.
Jack, thank you so much for joining me today. Executive Director of the National Voice of America Museum of Broadcasting, Jack Dominick. He writes the weekly blog, Jack's Notes and Bits, and you can find a link to that at WVXU.org.